Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 13, Agrarian Movements. We start with topic Agrarian Movements in Post-Independence Period. Certain developments in Indian political economy of the post-independence era can provide landmarks about the genesis and decline of the agrarian movements. These are the policy measures introduced by the state during the 1950s, both at national and provincial level, to bring about the agrarian transformation. Through land reforms, community development programs, and agricultural extension schemes, the Green Revolution in select areas of the country during the 1960s and opening of agricultural sector to the world market through the latest phase of globalization from the 1990s. These developments have resulted in emergence of new set of issues, rise of new agrarian classes and decline of erstwhile classes, new types of organizations and patterns of political mobilization. This section of the unit discusses movements of different agrarian classes. These classes are agricultural laborers, poor and small peasants, and the farmers, middle peasants, kulaks, rich peasants, ruler rich. First, we are going to discuss ruler poor, agricultural laborers, and small, poor, marginal peasants. The ruler poor is a conglomerate of poorer classes, landless agricultural laborers, tenants, poor, small and marginal farmers who own uneconomic land holdings and supplement their income by working as wage laborers. Either in agriculture or informal non-agrarian sectors. Most of them belong to low caste, low backwards and Dalits. Unlike the kulaks, middle rich peasants, they face dual problems, social discrimination and economic exploitation. Therefore, while the mobilization of the better-off agrarian classes has mainly been around the economic issue, that of the ruler poor has focused both on the social and economic issues. They are sometimes mobilized exclusively on the social and cultural issues. They are also mobilized mainly on the economic issues. Assertion of Dalit identity mainly under the influence of Ambedkarism through different social and cultural organizations of Dalits, finding expression in different ways, including conversion to another religions, are examples of mobilization on the social and cultural issues. We have read about it in unit which deals with Dalit movements in India. This section confines itself to the mobilization of ruler poor on economic issues. But as economic problems are intertwined with their social status, their social and economic issues cannot be mechanically separated. The agricultural laborers and poor small peasants have been mobilized into collective actions throughout the post-independence era in different states of India by different kinds of organizations. The latter included the socialist and communist parties, Gandhians, voluntary groups, NGOs, independent indigenous, and Naxalites. This subsection discusses some examples of movements of agrarian classes which form the ruler poor. The first two decades following independence saw the movements of the ruler poor in Uttar Pradesh by the socialist and communist on the one hand and by the Naxalites and the Communist Party of India on the other hand. The issues on which they were mobilized in the western Uttar Pradesh included redistribution of the Gaon Samaj land, abolition of Bagar, giving better wages, lifting of sanction imposed by the rich classes on poorer classes for cutting grass needed as fodder from the fields of the farmers, and protection of the women of the poorer classes from the exploitation of the men belonging to the richer classes. The forms of protection included hunger strike and demonstration. The 1960s also saw the mobilization of Dalits by Republican Party of India, which, unlike the BSP of the later period, took up the cultural issues along with the economic problems. Besides, there are innumerable examples of the protest of the agricultural laborers and poor small peasants in form of informal group organizations or everyday form of resistance. In Basti district of eastern Uttar Pradesh, the CPI has organized the land grab movement during the 1960s in order to give surplus land to the poorer classes. However, the traditional left and the socialists were unable to mobilize Dalit in several parts of the country, like some area of Bihar, Andhra Pradesh, Jharkhand, Chhattisgarh, and Orissa. This was because of this neglect of Dalit question. Though the socialists showed concern for the caste, their focus were the backward caste, not the Dalits. This lacuna of conventional left was corrected by the Naxalites in Andhra Pradesh, Bihar, and Orissa. Their ability to combine the economic issues with the caste disabilities enabled them to mobilize the low-caste agricultural laborers and poor peasants. Their resolve to get the land reforms implemented and abolish caste discrimination made them popular among these sections. They are not averse to use violence to eliminate class enemies, which include police personnel, landlords, and small politicians. Till recently, all Naxalite organizations did not participate in the elections. Now, some of them do take part in elections. Among the most important Naxal output are Jan Shakti and People's War Group PWG in Andhra Pradesh and Bihar, Pradesh Kisan Sabha BPKS and Marxist Coordination Committee MCC in Bihar. Recent decades have seen the movement of poor peasants who have been affected by the negative impact of development introduced by the state, specially funded by the World Bank. Taking recourse to Gandhian means of protest, these movements emerged have an alternative mode of movements. Concerned individuals, civil society organizations, voluntary organizations, and NGOs are playing significant roles in such movements. Narmada Bachao Andolan, led by Medha Patekar, is one of the most important examples of such movements. Next point is farmer, middle peasants, kulaks, rich peasants, rich ruler. The two decades of the last century, the 60s and 70s, witnessed the movements of a section which is known by different names: farmers, middle peasants, kulaks, rich peasants, or ruler rich. These movements had their own organizations and leadership. These movements were those of two separate organizations of the same name. The Bharatiya Kisan Union BKU, led by Bhupender Singh Mann in Punjab and by Mahender Singh Tikait in Uttar Pradesh, of the Shetkari Sangathan led by Sharad Joshi in Maharashtra, of Karnataka Rajya Ratha Sangh led by Professor Nazumdar Swami, of Kayuth Samaj in Gujarat, of Vaishyagal Sangam led by Narayan Swami Naidu in Tamil Nadu. Now we are going to discuss characteristics of the movement. These movements shared certain characteristics. They emerged in prosperous region of the country, which have benefited from the Green Revolution. They were the movements of ruler rich, which included rich peasants, landlords, and self-cultivating middle peasants, in which the middle peasants had the preponderance. These groups had benefited from the land reforms, including the abolition of landlordism. Socially, the middle or the intermediate caste, Jat, Gujar, Yadavs, Muslim, high caste in UP, Marathas in Maharashtra, Volgas and Lingayats in Karnataka, Patels in Gujarat, formed the largest composition of them. Unlike the peasant movements of the pre-independence period, their issues and demands are related to the market economy, like remunerative prices of the agricultural produce, subsidized input, reduction in the electricity bill, increase in the time of availability of electricity, their apolitical or non-political character, claim to represent the ruler interest against urban on the plea of the Bharat is exploited by India. They overlook the division in the ruler society and project themselves to be representative of entire ruler society. They were being led by a new kind of leadership. They raise new types of issues, etc. On these three movements, Shetkari Sangathan in Maharashtra, Karnataka, Raitha Sangathan in Karnataka, and BKU movement of UP deserve special discussion for different reasons. It was the Bharat versus India thesis of Sharad Joshi which highlighted the ruler-urban divide more prominently. Besides, as we will notice later in this unit, Sharad Joshi is only leader who has supported the liberalization policy of the state and who also worked as the advisor to the government of India during the VP Singh's regime. The Karnataka Rajya Ratha Sangathan movement in Karnataka occupied special place due to the socialist background of its leader, Professor Nanju Das Swami. The most striking has been the nature of leadership of the BKU in UP and the role of the traditional institute of CAP or caste council in mobilizing the farmers. Discuss genesis of farmers' movements. Since farmers' movements are post-Green Revolution movements and largely occurred in Green Revolution belt, they found the terms of trade against the agricultural sector. The rising cost of input in agriculture could not be met with the returns of the produce. Besides, inability of the system to provide electricity along with the increasing indebtedness to the public institution mainly to meet the input and infrastructural requirements gave birth to the new set of problems of the farmers. Though placed in superior position to the larger proportion of the rural poor, this section found itself neglected by the state. Published promises by the politician and the hold of this section on the rural vote bank contributed to the feeling of being cheated by the political class. Their expectation from the system further rose with the increasing share of legislatures in the center and state since the era of Janata Party government in the 1970s. This happened when people in general lost faith in politics, which to them meant formal political institutions, mainly leaders, political parties, and elections. Under these circumstances, the farmers responded positively to alternative mode mobilization, which was marked by the mobilization on the apolitical and non-political plank, projected the rural sector as a homogeneous unit, which was exploited by the urban vested interest. The leadership, which was not professional type, found it easy to provide leadership to these movements. The example of the BKU movement in UP can be an appropriate example in this context. It was the last of these movements, while other farmers' movement took place in the 1970s and the early 1980s, the BKU movement of UP took place mainly in 1988-89. It was a time when there was complete vacuum of leadership of the farmers caused by the death of Charan Singh on May 29, 1987, and earlier disintegration of the farmers' movement in UP following the death of R. M. Lohia in 1967. This gap was filled by political party of Charan Singh with frequent changes in its nomenclature. Earlier, while in the Congress, Charan Singh was opposed to the agitational politics, though he successfully devised a strategy to create his political constituency among the backward classes and the middle rich peasants. But collective mobilization into political agitation by his party was not as regular or organized as was by the socialist and communist. The massive political mobilization by non-party political organization was by the BKU of Tikat. For the first time, the traditional institution of KAP was active in mobilization of the farmers. This traditional leadership of KAP, which was headed by the leadership of a KAP of Jat Mahendra Singh Tikat, also included the leaders of KAPs of several castes. Now the next point is farmers' movement before the BKU. Prior to the BKU mobilization in 1980s, the farmers of UP were mobilized mainly by the leftist forces, which included both the socialist and the communist. But their mobilization mainly took place in the 1950s and the 1960s. Apart from the socialist and communist, Charan Singh also attempted to mobilize the farmers of UP during this period. But he did not mobilize them into a collective action. He in fact was opposed to the agitations. His mobilization of farmers was in the form of carving out an electoral base for himself among the middle and backward caste peasants like Jats, Yadavs, Kurmis, Koris, Lots, etc. of UP. He did so while he was still a member of Congress. He adopted two-pronged policy for this purpose. First, he articulated the interest of the peasant proprietors. Second, he identified himself with the backward caste peasantry. Largely, both these groups, backward caste and the peasant proprietors, overlapped. This created resentment within the Congress about Charan Singh's attempt to carve base for himself even while he was its member. At an opportune time following the defeat of Congress in 1967 election in nine states, Charan Singh came out of the Congress to form his own party, the Bharatiya Kranti Dal, BKD. After the decline of mobilization by the socialist and the communist, he mentioned earlier, unlike when he was in the Congress, even Charan Singh's party mobilized farmers into agitational politics. But it was not a regular and organized as the mobilization by the socialist and the communist. Having consolidated his base among the middle caste peasants, Charan Singh changed his focus to state and national politics, which catapulted him to the post of Prime Minister in 1980s. The principal issue of the mobilization was related to cane price. Though other issues also mattered, therefore, the peasant movement in UP was basically sugarcane growers' movement. A comparison of these issues with the issues taken up by the farmers' movements of the later period shows that were among the same. However, there was a difference. The socialists and communists took them up before the impact of the Green Revolution was actually felt. While the BKU took them up after the impact of the Green Revolution had been realized. Opening up sugar mills in different parts of the Uttar Pradesh in 1930s not only encouraged the commercialization of cropping patterns, it also gave rise to the new issues like sugarcane growers' problem. The peace and mobilization on these issues took place during the pre-independence period also, but it was during 1950s 1960s that the socialist and the communist mobilization took place regularly. Problems of the sugarcane growers, some of which exist even today, were the following. The sugarcane growers would supply the sugarcane to the sugar mills, payment for which was supposed to be made later on. The sugar mills did not mention the price of the sugar cane on the receipt of the sugar cane from the farmers. Rampant corruption at the centers, the distant places connected with mills where sugar cane would be supplied. The problem was compounded by the fact that the price of sugar cane was not provided to the farmers on time. It was also not paid in full. It was paid in installments. Therefore, the major demands during the peasant movements of the 1950s, 1960s included regular, timely, and full payment of the price of sugar cane to the cane growers. Throughout the 1950s and 1960s, the sugarcane growers were mobilized by the socialist and communist during the months of December and March. The peak session for sugarcane harvesting under the banner of organizations like Hind Kisan Panchayat and Kisan Sabha. They resorted to organizing rallies, dharnas at mill gates, conferences of the peasants, etc. Apart from the local leaders, the national and state level leaders like Acharya J.B. Kriplani, A.K. Gopalan, E.M.S. Namudripad, Z.A. Ahmed, Genda Singh and Dada Dharam Adhikari visited UP in order to mobilize sugarcane growers. Sometime this resulted in scuffle between the cane growers and agents of the mill owners and arrest of the leaders of the movement and foisting of charges on them. Towards the end of the 1960s, the leader of this movement either joined Congress, Charan Singh's party, or became inactive, and a phase in the present peasant movement came to an end. As we have noticed in this unit earlier, the peasant movement mobilization was done in the coming decades by Charan Singh's party and by the BKU headed by the CAT. Next topic is globalization and farmers' movements. Unlike the earlier movements, those of the farmers in the era of globalization have been reacted to the issue related to globalization. The attempt of the Western countries, especially to interfere in agrarian economy of the country, especially through the Dunkel Draft and GATT, evoked different reactions from the farmers' movement. While Sharad Joshi, the Shetkari Sangathan leader from Maharashtra, supported the globalization, two supported leaders, Professor Nanju Swami of Karnataka, Rajya Rathar Sangh, and Mahendra Singh Tikhat of BKU in UP, opposed it. Sharad Joshi argued that the opening of Indian agriculture to the world competition would benefit Indian farmers. His perspective helped him to become an advisor to the government of India during the regime of V.P. Singh. The opponent of globalization, Nanju Daswami and Tikhat, got support of academic activists like Vandana Shiva and a large number of socialists and Gandhians. They argued that the globalization would not only expose the Indian farmers to the unequal competition with the European farmers, an attempt to change the patent laws about seeds would deprive them of their traditional rights over the preservation and generation of seeds. They opposed the attempt of government to change the patent laws, demanded abrogation of the subsidies given by the European government to their farmers. They also opposed the multinational companies which used Indian natural resources like water to manufacture soft drinks. In fact, intellectuals like Vandana Shiva argued that modern technology popularized in green revolution has harmed the fertility of land rather than helping it. The opponents of the globalization organized rallies, demonstrations, and seminars to register their protest. Following the death of Professor Nanju Daswami, the farmers' protest against globalization has got weakened. Now the summary of the unit. To sum up, there have been the movements of agrarian classes in India throughout the pre and post independence period. Different agrarian classes have been mobilized into collective actions on their respective issues by their respective leadership and organizations. In the pre-Green Revolution era, the traditional Marxist CPI and CPM socialist and Naxalites launched agrarian movement in different parts of the country. The issue during that period included land reforms and wages for the poorer classes and prices for the produce and making available the infrastructure in the agriculture. Unlike other political organizations, the Naxalites were able to combine the economic exploitation with social justice. The post-Green Revolution saw the rise of movements of kulaks or rich peasants in the prosperous region of the country, which had benefited from the Green Revolution. Some scholars call them new social movements. Their characteristics were a political nature based on the rural-urban divide, concerned with the issue of commercial economy in agriculture, with new mode of mobilization and new type of leadership. However, some scholars disagree with the attribution of these characteristics to these movements. Even the globalization evoked contradictory responses from the leadership of these organizations. This period has also seen the rise of alternative mobilization of the ruler poor, which saw the participation of the civil society organizations and the intellectual activists. Here we want to wind up this lecture, and we have come to the end of the unit. Thank you so much for your attention.